The loose change inside Hattie's pencil trace, they sought it according to value. And God help you if you don't put stuff back where you found them. That's the kind Secretary Hattie. Even her coffee mug get one designated spot, right-hand corner on top the first shelf in the cabinet, right above the dish drainer. Nothing get past her. Typos, subject-verb agreement errors, nothing. But about 2 weeks ago, while me, Tsuki, and Hattie was ready for eat a Subway sandwich low-fat meal deal lunch, Hattie went snap. We were sitting at the break room table, sandwiches unwrapped, potato chip bags torn open. Right before Hattie was going to take one bite from her turkey on cracked wheat, she went freeze. How can you eat in this place? Hattie shouted. She went grab her napkin and started for dust the blue silk rose centerpiece that was in front of us on top of the table, and then she stopped and stared straight at me. Tsuki the one trying for turn this place into an Ben Franklin craft store, I said. You're the one who said this break room was too austere, Tsuki said. I bet you don't even know what austere means. Severely simple, lacks ornamentation, I said, so whop your jaws. 5 seconds of silence went past, and then Hattie went let out one low, contagious giggle. Pretty soon, the three of us was laughing so hard we had to wipe our eyes with our napkins, but that's when I noticed that Hattie was crying for real kind. Can I get you something? I placed my hand on her shoulder, but she pushed me away. Quit treating me like an old woman, Hattie said, and she sunk her face inside her hands. That's when Jane walked in the break room carrying one salad and one bottle of water. Jane is Mrs. Iwase's new admin assistant. The first time Mrs. Iwase brought Jane by my desk for introduce her, I thought, cool, she looked like my kid sister Elise. Petite, little bit intense, but pretty smile. Until Jane opened her mouth. That's Jane with a Y, she said, shaking my hand. Everyone spells my name wrong, and I'm so sick of correcting people. Tsuki, who sits across of me, was about to say hi, but Jane went frown at the collection of Happy Meal toys lined up on the edge of Tsuki's computer monitor. Jane proceeded to tell us that she went just pow her business BA at some college on the East Coast and decided to come home to, as she had put it, help reverse the brain drain syndrome on this island. In a matter of 5 minutes, we found out that her father was one orthopedic surgeon, her older sister was one corporate lawyer, and her younger brother was studying for be one civil engineer. And her mother was one retired Asian art professor who was one volunteer docent at the Honolulu Academy of Arts. I felt like I was supposed to genuflect in front her. After that day, Tsuki went stuff her Happy Meal toys inside her desk drawer. When Jane walked into the break room, she never say hi. She went straight for the sink and opened her salad container. Hattie went turn her face towards the wall. Escarole is so bitter, Jane mumbled, picking the curly kind greens from her salad and throwing them in the sink. I prefer radicchio myself, she said. The last time I was in Soho, Jane mumbled on about this deli by one canal, but I went stop listening once I saw Hattie scoop up some scattered lettuce from her sandwich wrapper. Here, Hattie said, dumping the lettuce in the sink in front Jane. Have some shredded iceberg. Hattie went bag from the break room. What's her problem? Jane shouted. All I did was give her a budget to type. She can be such a control freak. Tsuki followed Hattie, and then I followed Tsuki, who was heading straight for the women's restroom. I saw Hattie standing in front of the mirror, dabbing her eyes with one tissue. I wasn't going to do this, Hattie said. She crumpled the tissue into one small ball inside her hand. I wasn't going to fall apart. Not here. Not at work. She looked in the mirror and found my eyes. I went watch her face turn all red as the corners of her mouth went turned down. She started for heave, choke kind sobs. Clem and I, Hattie said, trying to catch her breath. We would have been married for 40 years today. 1 year ago, Hattie's husband, Clem, who was an executive chef in Waikiki, passed away from prostate cancer. When he was at Kuakini Hospital, Hattie only took 3 days sick leave, the day Clem was admitted, the day after he died, and the day of his funeral. She wouldn't go even cut her funeral leave in half. Her kids wouldn't fly home for help out, but she insisted on coming to work. That's Hattie. She wasn't workaholic. She had to be. She wouldn't pay for her kids go mainland college. Now Hattie's boy is one urban planner who live Oregon, and her girl is one multimedia artist in Seattle. They wanted her for Move Up Washington, but Hattie, she hothead. She never like impose on their lives, she said. For 1 year, she never say one word about her husband or her grief. Me and Tsuki went through a couple hints about counseling, but Hattie, she said she don't like when people meddle in her private affairs, so we backed off. In the restroom, Hattie went try for fix her lipstick, but every time she looked at her reflection, she would start tearing up again. What can we do for you? Tsuki whispered. I could tell Tsuki was ready for cry too. Her nose was pink. Hattie pulled one not a piece tissue from her blazer pocket and blew her nose. You need time, Tsuki said. You need to be kind to yourself and heal. Tsuki get this airy baby voice, the kind voice that can tell the truth without causing damage. Her voice made my throat feel all tight. I started for tear up too. Take the day off, Tsuki said. Take a week. Me and Sherry can cover for you. Hattie went rinse her face, took in a big breath, and exhaled. Don't be silly, she said. She went run her lipstick along her top lip. You'll just screw up my system. Hattie went throw away her tissue, kissed us both on our cheeks, and went back to her desk. The three of us went skip lunch that day, and for the rest of the afternoon, nobody said one word about Clem, blue roses, or shredded iceberg. Even Jane with a Y never have anything for say. The next morning, Hattie came work acting like nothing went happen. Around 10 o'clock, I found Hattie's coffee mug inside a sink, and get this, was halfway filled with coffee. She never even rinsed them out. What went really throw me off was I found Hattie's day planner inside an ice box. I was going to return the day planner to Hattie's desk, but then I heard Jane complaining about how the office's budget file was missing. Jane had to go make on scene. She went all to Hattie for backtrack her steps, and they found the file inside a number 4 paper tray of the Xerox machine. About 15 minutes later, Tsuki sat down by my desk. Total dread was all over her face. Look at what I found under the sink, she whispered. Tsuki held out Hattie's file cabinet keys and the payroll files. Her hand was trembling. That's it, I said. We gotta do something. You heard that freaking Jane bitching about the budget file. I was ready for take her outside. I would love to see her transferred to security. One day with those brothers downstairs and she would go crying back to college, Tsuki said. But then again, she has no idea what Hattie is going through. She's just one freaking princess, I said. You are the one who said she was smart, Tsuki said. If my memory serves me right, I said she talked like one walking memorandum. Granted, I knew Jane was sharp, could tell by the way she chose her words, but I would rather chew on one thesaurus than spend 5 minutes listening to her. She complained too much. Honolulu never have enough culture. No more nightlife. The pace too slow. To top it off, she pushy. Assertive was the word Hattie when used, but to me, Jane when act like she had one silver spoon so far up her ass, I could use her head for scoop sugar out of one bowl and stir my coffee. The one and last time I got caught in the break room by myself with Jane was the time she went ask me what school I went graduate from. Roosevelt, I said. I meant what college, silly, Jane said. Well, I plan on going back to school, I lied. Part-time, of course, maybe next year. So, Cherry, Jane said, after she went glimpse quick kind at my ID badge. What are you anyway? It's Sherry, like the wine, not the fruit. I Filipino Chinese. That's funny, so am I, she said. Actually, I meant your job title. I'm going to apply for a secretary tree as soon as get one opening, I said. Three? Jane said, eyeing up my Hawaiian bracelets. You mean you're just a clerk typist? Just a clerk typist. I thought to myself, who the hell she think her? Oh, gosh, look at the time, I said, staring at my wristwatch. I have a hair appointment. Bye-bye. I really miss my stylist in New York, she said. I can't find a decent salon on this island. Who does your hair? Fantastic Sam's, I said. And you know what that princess said? She said, Fantastic Sam? Who's he? Me and Tsuki was on one mission. Support Harry. Bombay, she might lose her head, or more worse, her job. Our plan, follow Harry around the office, sneaky kind, so that Harry wouldn't notice that we was watching out for her. When Harry went put her keys down by the Xerox machine, I went tell her, nice your keychain. When Harry went place her memo pad next to the water cooler, Tsuki told her, can I see your notes from our morning staff meeting? But that Harry, she not one idiot. She finally came by my desk. I'm going to the bathroom now, Hattie said, putting her hands on her hips. Would you like to remind me to wipe my butt? We was only looking out for you, I said, lowering my head for stare at my knees. She pinched my chin for lift my face so she could look me in the eye. Knock it off, she said. I'll be fine. She walked away, but I never stopped worrying. If Hattie screwed up the payroll, that might justify one transfer out of our department, giving Jane with a Y the muscle for throw any kind shit in my entry. What I needed was something short of divine intervention. That's when Tsuki came by my desk, waving around the entertainment section of the Honolulu Star Bulletin. Look at this ad, Tsuki said, handing me the newspaper. I read them and laughed. Since when you like Go Venus Nightclub? Not that ad, Tsuki said. This ad, Luciano Pavarotti in concert. Hattie loves this guy. Let's go. When I saw the word opera, I would give the newspaper back to Tsuki. I don't belong at that kind of concert, I said. They gonna take one look at me and laugh. What the hell somebody like you listening to opera? What the hell somebody like you doing listening to opera? That's what they gonna say. You're being silly, Tsuki said. Go ask Jane, I said. She probably know all about this Lucy whatever guy. Well, Miss Sherry with an I-E, Tsuki said, it just so happens that Jane already has tickets and her personal trainer will be her escort that evening. Believe me, I heard all about it. For real? Jane going, I said. Mora no let go. Think about it. This will be the biggest cultural event that ever hit Honolulu and Jane will waltz in this office yapping about how she was there and you were not. Tsuki said, with the most sinister grin. That freaking Tsuki. I went picture a scene in my mind. When Jane asked me if I actually attended one classical music concert, I could tell her, of course, who never? Let me talk to Cecil first, I said. Cecil kept saying, poor thing, when I told him about the Hattie episode. So I told him that my concert ticket was only going to cost $100.
Babe, he said, that's on truck payment.
Cecil, I said, what I did before I got this office job?
You was one kind of girl at that drive-in, he said. And now your knees no hurt from standing up for 8 hours. You told me a million times.
Hattie was the one who went help me get this office job, I said. She the one told me I could do it. I owe her.
You're right, Cecil said. But you really think one night out with a girl's going to make her feel better?
Babe, you do the math, I said. Nothing equals nothing.
You're right, he said. Good, you guys go.
That's when I got excited. The last big night out I had was about 6 months ago when Cecil took me to his Carpenters Union Christmas bash at the Pagoda Hotel. Was wild. My husband tells everybody that carpenters know how for party.
We no scared get hammered, that's why. Get it, hammered.
No get me wrong, I love my husband to death, but I never asked Cecil if he like come to the concert. If no more Papio in one net or his boys with one cooler, then he not interested. But get this. On the big night of the concert, Cecil, the love of my life, went by me, Tsuki, and Hattie each one red long stem rose. We went walk towards the entrance of the Neo Blaisdell Center carrying our roses like we was born for hang with the beautiful people. Tsuki went wear one killer emerald Susie Wong-kind dress with the long slits up the sides, and she went even darken the mole on her left cheek. She went look like one Japanese Miss Chinatown, with her hair all beauty queen up, wispy bangs, sprayed stiff. She lucky, she skinny, that's why. Tsuki can wear one rice bag and still look freaking high class. Me, I went wear the usual black skirt and leopard print silk blouse. Well, was polyester, but no can tell from far. Freaking Cecil, he would make like he never let me leave the house. I would wear his favorite high heels, the ones that, as he puts it, never fails to renew our nuptials. Cecil would have been blown away, had choked beautiful women climbing out of limos and sashaying down the halls, and it wasn't like they went go borrow their kid sister's prom hand-me-downs. I talking high-end, showroom-kind stuff, like the clothes get in the windows at that other mall on the fourth floor at Ala Moana Shopping Center. Armani and Taylor, Fendi. One time, Hattie went tell me that she thought Ala Moana would become one socially stratified retail oligarchy. I told her I wouldn't know. I shop Pearl Ridge. She may not be the type for make all high maka maka and mighty, but she sure know how for turn some heads. Hattie wore her favorite Princess Ka'iulani mu'umu'u, the one she saves for special occasions. The mu'umu'u is one classic. Black with one lavender and white wisteria print and black velvet trim along the low scoop neck and the three-quarter sleeves and super fitted for show off her slender waistline. Wen looked pretty fine with her five-strand Ni'i Hao shell necklace. She went pin one band of gardenia and orchids around that jet black hair that was slicked back into one bun low at her neck. Hattie never need wear eye makeup, just fire engine red lipstick. She still got it going on. We each bought one glass champagne and walked up one flight to find our seats in the loges. Hattie sat between me and Tsuki, and we went sip on our champagne like we was princesses or, more better, divas. The auditorium had one fairy tale like energy, like the crowd had one collective Cinderella mentality, waiting for the prince for come and bust out one glass slipper.
Thank you so much, Hattie whispered to me and Tsuki. Her cheeks were bright pink from the champagne.
We care about you, Hattie, Tsuki said.
Yeah, you, I said. We don't like see you get all futless over Tsuki's craft fail leftovers. Tsuki gave me stink eye.
I own all of Pavarotti's CDs, Hattie said. He makes me hot.
We laughed so loud, the lady sitting in front of us went turn around and gave us one snobby look. Good thing the orchestra went start for warm-up or else I would have clocked that broad to the moon. As I listened to the horns, violins, and clarinets play scales, all mishmash kind, Hattie went point at one couple who was right below us in the arena level seats.
Is Jane into professional wrestlers? Hattie said. Sure enough, there was 5'1" Jane holding on to one ham hock of a arm that was attached to one suntan Goliath, wearing one too tight tuxedo and Oakley sunglasses. He must have been more than 6 feet tall and way more than 300 pounds. The brother had one balding hairline, and whatever blonde hair he had left was lacquered back in one skinny rat's tail behind his neckless head. He looked like that movie star Steven Seagal, only more cheesy. Jane could do way better than that, I said. Check out that gown, Tsuki said. Jane was wearing one aquamarine satin, off-the-shoulder, floor-length gown that ballooned out from her cinched-in waist. Who she think her? I said. Princess Di. Oh, when will you learn, Sherry? Hattie said. It doesn't matter who she is trying to be when her date has at least $400 worth of ticket stub in his hand. We watched Jane discover that Steven Seagal went pay $400 for sit on top two metal folding chairs. Poor thing, Jane. She had to gather up the bottom half of her poofy gown into one large airy ball. She couldn't see the chair behind her, so she went past the airy blue ball to Steven. He went look kind of pissed off because he had to stand up for hold her dress so she could aim her ass in the chair. After Jane went settled in her seat, Steven handed the blue fabric ball back to Jane so he could jam his massive body into his metal folding chair. He looked like Hulk Hogan forced for sit on one preschool toilet, I said. I still say she can do better than that. Maybe she doesn't know she can, Hattie said, real gentle kind. Give me a break, I said to Hattie. She know, I know she know. I went take one long sip of my champagne and watched Jane look around the arena as if she was waiting for somebody to notice her. Then she went wave at this handsome Japanese guy about two rows behind her, but the guy had this nervous look on his face and then he went lift his program up past his eyes. I went look at Jane and she was clinging to Steven Seagal like the brother was wearing one fly paper tuxedo. That's when the house lights went turned down and the audience went go nuts. The conductor of the Honolulu Symphony Orchestra walked on stage and opened the show with the William Tell Overture. I read the program. That's how I know. I would actually recognize the song from the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner Hour. In fact, I was surprised I would recognize plenty of the songs the symphony went play. This was the first time I heard one symphony in person. The sound was almost too powerful. It was like watching one jetliner in the sky pass over the buildings downtown. My whole body went shudder when I heard the drums and the French horns. After the symphony was powered, the house lights went turned on again, and I thought, is that it? They power already? No, could be. The place was sold out. Every seat from the arena level to the top of the highest row was filled. From where I was sitting, the arena looked like one calabash filled with people talking starry and opening and shutting paper programs. After about 5 minutes went past, the house lights went down again. I thought I was going to go deaf from all the cheering, whistling, and clapping. Hattie went grab me and Tsuki's hands. Be prepared to wilt, my dears, she said. One bright blue spotlight hit the middle of the stage, and one blala of a man with one black beard, wearing one white shirt and black tuxedo, went walk into the light. Rows and rows of screaming fans was clapping so loud, I swear the floor beneath me was vibrating. Hattie went let go my hand, and she went clap so hard, couple orchids tumbled out of her hair. Luciano Pavarotti opened his arms out to the audience like one Jesus statue. He went press his white handkerchief to his lips and blew kiss after kiss in all directions until he completed the entire circle of the arena. I went wonder why everybody was treating this man like he was one god. Hattie! I yelled, trying for compete with the applause. Does he do anything else other than sing songs? He sings arias, Sherry, Hattie yelled. Listen, you'll see. Pavarotti sang at least 5 arias. I never heard of the operas that these arias came from, but I would recognize them from different movies. Like that song, Nessun Dorma. I never know what the hell he was saying, but Pavarotti's voice could rise and then fall
and then hold one note for so long I was forced to close my eyes. It was like I was drunk. Then had this part when the trumpets went echo his voice, making his words seem even more passionate. He went belt out, "Vincerò, vincerò, vincerò." Holding the oil pot with so much force, I felt like I was that close to being pushed off the pulley. The orchestra went echo the vincerò melody, violins and cellos rising and rising, horns and drums got louder and more intense until they went hit the climactic end. The audience went ballistic. Was like one thunderstorm when split open the auditorium. Hattie went nudge me and Suki with her elbows. "Just like great sex, huh?" Hattie said. "No shit," Suki said. "I'm exhausted." We went squeal and wave our roses high over our heads, and I went wish Cecil was with me. I went feel guilty about assuming he never have it in him for appreciate this kind stuff. Made me realize that I never need be shame about not knowing all the titles, the composer's names, or the symphony numbers. I couldn't avoid feeling this music. That's all that mattered. The aria I remember the most was "E Lucevan le Stelle." The song went start with one carefree kind violin melody that made me think of picnics at Kapi'olani Park or watching Cecil laugh with his auntie them. But then the violins went stop. And in flowed the sound of one lonely clarinet. My chest went feel so heavy, like I was longing for something. The music went turn dark. The clarinet and Pavarotti's voice went do this echo kind dance, and then the violins went come back only couple notes higher than his voice. To me, Pavarotti was singing like he was going die. I went panic. "Hattie," I whispered, shaking her arm, "tell me what he's singing about." "He's in prison," she said. "He's looking out a window at the stars and remembering the times he had with his lover." Hattie went blot her tears with one napkin. I went hold her hand, but she never looked at me. She stared at the stage as if she was staring out at nothing. "You know," Hattie said, "Clem loved me so much. Too much. Much more than I was ever capable of loving him." She never looked at me when she said that. It was almost like she was speaking to herself. "Hattie, that's the champagne talking," I said. "Love had nothing to do with it," she said. "Clem was safe. He made life so easy for me. There. I said it." How could she say that about Clem? I never know if I should be pissed off or filled with pity to think that all those years she was walking around the office with that secret inside her heart. I'm not stupid. I'm not naive. I know everybody gets secrets. I bet everybody in that arena had some heavy shit they was hurting from. Could tell. As Pavarotti continued to sing "E Lucevan le Stelle," I gazed out at the audience. Even if they was all strangers, I felt the sorrow in their faces. Beautiful sorrow. As they watched Pavarotti sing about the stars that the prisoner saw from his jail cell. No wonder so many people love this kind of music. I couldn't hold back my tears anymore, and when Pavarotti went finished that aria, everybody in the concert hall stood up and shouted, "Bravo! Bravo!" Everybody except me and Hattie. I leaned in close to her. "You okay?" I whispered into her ear. Hattie went pat my hand. "I just made peace with my demons," she whispered back. Tsuki, who had already jumped out of her seat for Scream Hanaho, when noticed that me and Hattie was still yet sitting down.
Get up! Tsuki yelled. What's wrong? I waited for Hattie to say something, but she jumped to her feet, stuck her two fingers between her lips, and started whistling and clapping and crying. I never know what to make of that moment. I mean, one minute Hattie is all true confessions, and the next minute she stay whistling like she had when UH Wahine volleyball game. All I know is that Hattie was small crying off her rocker. But who isn't? You gotta be a little bit nuts for pick a couple $100 so one of your best friends at work can make peace with one of us. So I stood up too, whistled like the titter I am, and clapped till my hands hurt. Pavarotti's encore was O Sole Mio. Everyone was standing up and swaying as he sang. When he got to the second verse, the house lights went up and thousands of voices sang the chorus. Every man and woman who was there, from the cheapest to the most expensive seat, was like when Luciano Pavarotti singing like their life depended on it. Me and Tsuki never know the words, so we went fake 'em by singing plenty. La 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 la. I went look below us at the arena level. Steven Seagal was sitting down with his arms crossed over his chest, but that Jane, she was on her feet singing and swaying to the music. She went spin slowly with her head tilted back, just like with a little girl, gazing at all the people above her. She stopped when she saw me. She seemed surprised. She went give me one big smile and wave her program above her head. That sucking Pavarotti, he get him. And that music does strange things, miraculous things. So I figured, what the hell? I smiled at Jane and waved back at her with my rose.